This is Money in Motion with Class Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Our telephone number here at the station, 321-1310. That's 321-1310. If you've got questions for our retirement planning professionals from Class Financial, love to get you on the air right now. Joining us this morning from Class Financial, CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas. How you guys doing today?
Good morning, Sean. Doing great. How are you?
Doing really well. CJ, Malia, how are you?
Wonderful. The month is running by us quickly.
It's amazing. We're already into March, and oh my goodness, it's a lot of good stuff going on right now, and it's a great time to be thinking about retirement planning and getting ready for your future. And this week, we are going to be talking about an important part of planning for the future, which is estate planning. We're going to get into that in just a moment. As I mentioned, if you have a question for CJ and Malia, we would love to get you on the air right now at 321-1310. That's 321-1310. You can learn more about Kloss Financial as well online. The website, KlossFinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S Financial.com. Great resource there to learn more about Kloss Financial. They're separate divisions. Also, you can sign up for the weekly Market Pulse newsletter online at KlossFinancial.com. Their telephone number, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. No charge for the initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It is complimentary. As mentioned, we're going to be talking estate planning this week, but before we get rolling on this week's conversation, one of the great things that goes on this show is the Kloss Quiz Question Week. We'll be doing another one this week as well. Chance to win a fantastic prize, a $25 gift card to Amazon. A little tip, listen closer to the show. Typically the answer as well as the question come up during the program. And before we get rolling on this week's conversation, let's take a look back at last week's Kloss Quiz Question Week, go over the question and the answer as well.
Yes, we have to remind Sean every week that he's not eligible to win the prize because he gets excited when we mention Portillo's or things like that. Man, but yes. So thanks everyone last week who listened to our show and called in to try to win our prize. Our question last week was, in 2020, what was the social investment in ESG investing, both institutional and retail? Was it $10 billion or $17 trillion? So if you remember, ESG investing we covered last week dealt with socially responsible investing, environmental, social, governance, specifically investing is what this question was about. Our winner last week correctly answered $17 trillion is the amount that was totally invested in 2020. So thanks for listening. Congratulations to that winner and listens carefully today.
That's good advice. And also another thing, if you missed last week's program on ESG investing, you're going, that sounds interesting. You can always listen back to previous shows, podcasts online at KlossFinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S. Financial.com. So obviously, as financial planners, you guys talk a lot about retirement planning with clients and, of course, on the radio show here. But we're also going to be talking about this week about estate planning, which is a conversation you guys have. So let's talk about the importance of having things like power of attorney documents prepared and ready.
Yeah, this is an important discussion today. Powers of attorney often get overlooked because often people will say, oh, it's all good, I have a will, or it's all good, I establish my beneficiary designations. And today we're here to kind of explain to you, what is a power of attorney? Why might you need it? I should rephrase that. Why do you need it?
Yes.
And you know, kind of the different types of power of attorney documents that are out there. So estate planning is not just about wills and trusts, which of course direct your assets upon death or maybe name guardians while you're alive. But equally important is having the proper power of attorney documents in place while you are still alive. Now, I should disclose before we get too deep into this that we're not attorneys. We don't create legal documents like wills, powers of attorney, and therefore, you know, listeners should consult their own estate planning attorney on how to create these types of documents if they don't have them in place already. Or, by the way, some people go, I don't have an attorney. Great. Just call us and we'll put you in touch with a few good ones. But essentially, a power of attorney document allows a person, who's also known as the principal, to decide in advance whom they trust and want to act on their behalf if they become incapable of making decisions for themselves. So the person who acts on behalf of the principal is also called the agent. So think as a principal, i.e. you, name an agent, i.e. maybe spouse or friend or sibling, something like that. But there's multiple types of decisions that the agent can be given the power to make, including the power to make financial decisions on your behalf, make gifts of money, make healthcare decisions, including the ability to like consent to giving, withholding, or stopping medical treatment, and then also things like recommending a guardian. Now, an important point, there is a difference, which I mentioned this a little bit before, but there's a difference between the designation of being a beneficiary, which this only comes into effect at death, versus being a power of attorney. So again, we often hear people say, oh, it's fine. I listed my spouse as beneficiary. They'll be able to act for me. We go, no, 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 no. A beneficiary literally has zero influence or power while you're alive. Whereas being a power of attorney, on the other hand, which this comes, you know, into effect while the person is still alive, that does give power to the agent to act on your behalf. So the question is, of course, which is more likely? That you're going to become incapacitated throughout life, or that you're going to die? And it's kind of a chuckle as I ask it. As you can imagine, you might have multiple times throughout your life that you're incapacitated. As a matter of fact, think surgery, right? Because some people go, well, I might not get into a car accident and be incapacitated. I go, I know, just what about surgery? Are you ever put under? Right. Or what, when you're asleep, technically speaking, you're incapacitated. The only problem is that you generally wake up from that. But what if it's a self-induced sleep? Right. So, again, surgery being one, a car accident being another, whatever these things are where you're not healthy enough to make decisions on your behalf. I can tell you it is a huge liability for doctors, lawyers, attorneys, anybody to make decisions financially, healthcare or otherwise, for anybody who is deemed to be able to eventually retrieve their capacities. So what do I mean by that? Well, I don't want to make a healthcare decision for somebody who has not named me to do so, who I believe will eventually recover their faculties. Because if I make the wrong choice, that's a big liability. So what's the first thing a doctor will say before they go into surgery for somebody from a car accident? Where's the power of attorney? Who's going to give me the okay to perform said surgery? Okay, I'm going off down a rabbit trail. You all get the point. So, of course, why should I have one of these? And the answer is because you will become incapacitated and your family, again, does not automatically have the decision, nor does a spouse automatically have the ability to make decisions on your behalf. You have to actually name them in this function. We have seen crazier things, by the way, where a husband does not name said wife, because said wife doesn't have good maybe financial decision making, or vice versa, and therefore they name somebody else. So just because you're married to somebody does not automatically put you into this particular, you know, power of attorney role.
Really good stuff this morning, talking with CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas, our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. Don't forget, if you've got a question for CJ and Malia, love to hear from you this morning at 321-1310. That's 321-1310. You can learn more about Kloss Financial online, the website klossfinancial.com, and the telephone number 442-5637. That's 442-5637. And CJ, when we're talking about power of attorney, there's two main types, aren't there?
There are. Yeah. So before I give you the two main types, you know, the good news is that if you become incapacitated without a power of attorney, a judge will typically go through a process to name someone or appoint someone to act as your agent. The problem is, I hope it's the right person, right? Yeah. So like, don't be that guy or that girl. Make sure you name your own person. But yes, as you just said, Sean, there are two main types of power of attorney documents: medical and financial. So a medical power of attorney, also known as a power of attorney for healthcare, or some people have heard the terminology living will, although living will is more like an advanced directive. So long story short, if you have an old school living will, you might want to talk to your attorney about getting a little bit more of a comprehensive document than just the old living will. But again, rabbit trail. A medical power of attorney gives a trustworthy friend or family member, known as the agent, the ability to make decisions about the care the principal receives if they're incapacitated. And again, we'll discuss that in more detail in the next segment. A financial power of attorney, also called a power of attorney for property, gives an agent the ability to make financial decisions on behalf of the principal. It's also common to appoint one person to act as an agent for both financial and healthcare decisions, but in some situations, that may not be the right thing to do. So think husband and wife. I'll just say husband dies. So now there's only spouse remaining. She's thinking, who do I name? And she goes, well, my son is an accountant and my daughter is a nurse. Well, you might want to name the nurse the healthcare power of attorney and the son the financial. So they could be the same person, but they could be two different people. And then there's a few different types of power of attorney designations for various situations. I'll just name a few of them. There's what's known as a durable power of attorney. This arrangement designates another person to act on the principal's behalf while living and includes a durable clause that maintains the power of attorney after the principal principal becomes incapacitated. So where this is a durable power of attorney, you could have your faculties completely, but that person can act on your behalf whether you're incapacitated or not. Okay, so durable power of attorney, be a little bit careful with those. Next type would be a special or limited power of attorney. Listen, to be quite frank, often people don't realize this, but you're basically, when you hire a money manager like we might do for somebody in retirement, you're actually naming them as like a limited power of attorney to make financial investment related decisions within a particular account. So, as a matter of fact, limited power of attorneys are used all over the place. It's like, hey, I don't want to have to make said investment decision or said whatever decisions. And so I'm going to name this individual or entity to make those limited decisions on my behalf. But this can be of large scope or small scope. There's also what are known as springing durable power of attorneys. They spring into life at the event of incapacity. And then there's what's called a general power of attorney, which I won't go into too much detail there. But long story short, two primary types, medical POA and financial POA. Once you're an adult, my argument would be every adult should name an agent to act in those two capacities, medical and financial.
Really fascinating stuff today for sure. Talking with CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas, our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. If you have a question for Malia and CJ, we'd love to get you on the air right now. Telephone number right here at the station, 321-1310. That's 321-1310. We'll get you on the air with CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas, our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. Don't forget you can learn more about Kloss Financial online. The website, KlossFinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S Financial.com. Also, don't forget that first appointment at Kloss Financial. It is complimentary. It's not going to cost you a thing. Their telephone number, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. We'll be talking with Malia. We'll talk about the differences between a health care power of attorney and a living will. I know I'll speak for myself. Sometimes that gets a little confusing with the details from Malia, and we'll take more of your calls next as Money in Motion with Kloss Financial continues here on 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
And we're talking estate planning this morning with our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial, CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas. Love to get you on the air if you've got a question for Malia and CJ. Our number right here at the station, 321-1310. That's 321-1310. Telephone number at Kloss Financial, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. No charge for that initial. Get to know your appointment at Kloss Financial. It is complimentary. And their website, KlossFinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, Financial.com. So one of the big questions, and I'll be honest, I sometimes get a little confused by this. And it's nice that we do a refresher from time to time on these two different things, which is the difference between a health care power of attorney and a living will. Those are they're distinctly different. But I think for a lot of us, they kind of get mangled up and mushed together in our minds.
They definitely do. And I just want to point out, as our listeners are listening to us spout off all these different types of power of attorneys, we're not suggesting everybody runs out and gets all these different kinds. Okay. We're trying to not confuse you, but let you know that there are different types of ways you can have people help you at really critical times. So we really do need to sit down with an attorney and decide what makes sense for you. So obviously we do hear these terms kind of thrown back and forth. And when you're naming someone to make healthcare decisions on your behalf, there's three basic types of healthcare directives that you will want to consider. And so we mentioned the POA for healthcare. So first I want to start off with a living will. A living will actually indicates your specific desires about life-sustaining treatments. So it'll go into as much detail as you want regarding your wishes in a variety of medical situations. For example, do you want life-sustaining interventions such as, you know, cardiac resuscitation, feeding tube or antibiotics? Do you only want pain relief? And finally, do you want to donate your organs? So this is a living will is very, very specific as to what in all different situations you might want to have happen. Whereas a healthcare power of attorney, it's also called a healthcare proxy, is basically you're appointing an agent. So it's more flexible than a living will because, you know, I just said, well, the living will outlines all these different potential situations. It certainly can't outline every single one. So that's why having that power of attorney agent being able to be, you know, be in the now and hear what's going on and make good decisions on your behalf is so critical. So in some situations, you're going to have a living will and you're going to have named a healthcare power of attorney. And then finally, the advance directive is so important because it kind of combines it all into one document. So that will actually dictate your healthcare preferences and allow you to make the end of life care statements that you need to make have happen. So really critical for you to understand these are important documents to get in place.
Very important stuff there. And I think the other question folks often ask and wonder about is when is the right time to be assigning power of attorney and what's kind of the timeline for once that gets started for it to take effect?
Yeah, so everyone thinks they'll get to it at some point in the future, right?
Yes.
But that could be too late, and that's the whole point to this. So they should be put into place before you're no longer able to do so, right? So you should be of sound mind and body and we would suggest that everyone should have a POA, as CJ said, when you're an adult. So at the same time that you're putting together your will, your trust, this is the time to do your power of attorney document. So as CJ said, remember your power of attorney does not come into play until the principal, which is yourself, can no longer make their own decisions or is legally incapacitated. So we would suggest to people, do this in your happy times. When you're feeling good and you feel like you can trust different people in your life, family or otherwise good friends, that is really the time to get these in place. It's not that you can't ever modify them in the future, but it really is critical. And I was recently speaking to one of my clients who I told them a power of attorney that was listed for them from years before that we had a copy of. And they said, yeah, I don't really even talk to that person anymore. And, you know, that's why we have to actually blow the dust off and sometimes revisit what we have in place and perhaps look at making, you know, a change. So really critical you do something about these documents.
And we talk about, I know on the show a couple of times a year about reminders to check these out as well. And of course, it's one of the great things too, when you're working with folks like the folks at Claus Financial is being there not only to kind of guide you through this, but to remind you to check up on some of those things from time to time to make sure they are still accurate. CJ Claus and Malia Cuevas, our retirement planning professionals from Claus Financial. The website, ClausFinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S Financial.com. Their telephone number, 442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Claus Financial. It is complimentary. Again, their telephone number, 442-5637. We'll head on over to the Money in Motion Listener Question Corner. We'll do the Claus Quiz Question of the Week. We'll also talk a little bit more about estate planning. We'll do that next as Money in Motion with Claus Financial continues right here on 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Claus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
And you can find Claus Financial online, their website, ClausFinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S Financial.com. And the telephone number, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. So let's talk about, as we've talked about, how important these things are. I have a sneaking suspicion I may know why this is the answer to this one, but why don't many people actually take time to get this stuff done?
That's a great question. It's typically not as sophisticated of a reason as we might think. It's that they perceive it as being difficult. Often we hear people say, I just don't know who. And I go, I guess the judge will decide then, right? And I hate to sound so cross, but that's just the reality of like, well, you don't know who. I don't know what you think a judge who doesn't know you will know better than you. Or they think it's expensive, or honestly, they just don't have the time to get around to it. And I get it, by the way. I have areas of my life that are the same way that people will poke me, and I just it's a struggle for me to get around to it. But we would recommend that our listeners make sure they get this done. We're often asked if someone can do this, or if people can do this on their own, or if they should seek an attorney. And we would generally suggest that you hire an attorney to make sure that things are done properly, to make sure there's a witness, you get it signed, that these documents are legal and binding and effective. But you can do them on your own. You can download some of these documents. There's some stock versions of them that are available online. But, you know, even when you hear us talking about it, it's fairly complex. Are you getting a durable power of attorney, a springing power of attorney? Is it a special or limited power of attorney? And I would say, you know, if it's between doing it or not doing it, then just download it online and at least get something in place. But if it's a matter of getting it done right to reflect your wishes, we would just say hire an attorney, pay them a little bit for their time, and make sure it's what you want.
Good guidance as always. He is CJ Kloss, joined by Malia Cuevas, our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. Before we get to the Kloss Quiz Question Week, Money in Motion Listener Question Corner, Ann took the time to write. She says, I have two life insurance policies that will expire just prior to my retirement. Should I have life insurance that takes me beyond my retirement? Is there any reason to consider keeping them? That's a great question.
Ooh, this is a good one, yes. Ann. Oh man, it's, you know, I wish we had more time. I'll give you my answer in a nutshell, but I would encourage you, Ann, to call into the office if you have more questions after this. So there's a lot of things to consider as it relates to your question. You know, are you leaving behind any debts that you should, you know, be able to pay off with that life insurance? Do you have a partner that you wish to leave additional funds to provide for their retirement in the event that maybe it was a second or third marriage? Do you have adult children that you wish to leave money to for, you know, to purchase a vehicle? Or do you need life insurance to pay for your burial costs? Or do you need life insurance to pay for taxes associated with certain annuities that have gain inside of them? So on and so forth. You get the point. There could be many reasons why you could consider maintaining life insurance into retirement. However, there is this kind of very simple concept of, well, hey, my debts are gone, maybe. I have no dependents anymore, and I'm no longer working. What do I need life insurance for? And our response would be, maybe nothing. Maybe nothing. Maybe you don't need it at all. However, it's never wise to go around canceling life insurance policies without a sit down with somebody you trust. And I know it sounds like I'm trying to push you into our organization. Anybody who knows me should know that's not the case at all. Talk to anybody you trust financially, advisor, accountant, but don't go around willy-nilly canceling life insurance policies, especially those with cash value inside of them, without sitting down and understanding both the tax implications and the potential risks of canceling it. But Ann, your question is a great one. It's one we get all the time. Should you have it? And my response will be like many of our responses, it depends.
Really important information there and important considerations to be making. You don't want to make those haphazardly. You really want to go over all of your decisions there. Great stuff as always. CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas, our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. The website, KlossFinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S Financial.com. And the telephone number, 442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It is complimentary. You're also going to hold on to that telephone number because now it's time for the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. It works like this. In just a moment, I'll ask you the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. You will then have 30 minutes from the end of today's program to call the Kloss Financial Office right here in Madison at 608-442-5637. If you are the first caller with the correct answer, you'll win this week's prize, which is a $25 Amazon gift card. This week's Kloss Quiz Question of the Week is this. Name one of the two main types of power of attorney documents you should consider having in place. Telephone number 442-5637. First caller with the correct answer to Kloss Financial's office here in Madison will win that $25 gift card to Amazon. Mention that is their office number. No charge for the initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. Their number, 442-5637. And, of course, the website, KlossFinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S Financial.com. CJ, Malia, always informative. Great hanging out with you guys today. Have a fantastic day.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, guys. Dr. Nicole is going to be talking healthcare waste and taking your calls next here on 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial Asset Advisors, LLC, a registered investment advisor registered with the SEC. The content of this show is for informational purposes only and should not be considered individual investment advice. Kloss Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Any opinion offered during the course of this show is the opinion of that particular investment advisor representative and not necessarily the opinion of Kloss Financial. Money, 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 money.